All right, good morning. Welcome to Teaching Others Also. We're going to continue in the building blocks of your faith thoughts. This is number three, building blocks of your faith. And we are going to speak today about Genesis 1 again. So if you have another Bible there, and I'll probably try to limit most of what I say to Genesis 1, maybe two passages in the New Testament. This is another very important block. I was thinking of a way to illustrate what we're talking about. When you lay the foundation of a house, we'll say, and in feet, in standard, you might say, let's say it was a 1,600-foot square house, which is 40 by 40. That would be about 145 square meter house if you happen to be on the metric system somewhere in this world. Now, the reason I say that and bring it up is that sometimes what we want to do is put things in perspective. If you had to go three courses high to get your block to the foundation, you're either going to pour a concrete floor or put an off-grade foundation on, you would need for a 1,600 square foot building, 40 by 40, you'd need about 360 blocks. Okay? So, and I realize other places in the world I've built buildings where the foundation we did was through forms. We formed the concrete and poured a solid with a drainage apparatus and stuff in them. And I've had the blessing of doing that kind of stuff, so it gives me a physical picture that it would be completely normal to have 360 of those blocks. Now, I haven't set out to have 360 of these blocks, but as I thought about the illustration, I realized that that's a realistic idea, is that it takes a lot of blocks, a lot of things to make a true building, but especially a good foundation. You know, if you skimp at one place or you miss or something happens, and you're not careful to make sure that that part of the foundation is solid and true and all that, it really does affect the rest of the building. Now, I've watched fellows who were very adept at covering up those sort of things and go on and build the building, but it does not change the fact that the foundation is lacking. So this is building blocks of your faith number three this morning. And this is not an intellectual block. Although the majority of active Christians, and you can kind of define that loosely, active Christians today might be somebody who is associated with a church, and they attend regularly, and they maybe go to fellowships, and they may have different kind of, you know, groups within their church, and they, you know, support maybe ministries or different things, and the intellectual Christian today, and that doesn't mean they have a PhD or even a master's or necessarily even a bachelor's degree, but the intellectual Christian today is constantly trying to deal with Bible truths in a knowledge way, in a science falsely so-called way, and they do not know it. Many of them are Bible-believing Christians, and they are constantly trying to study how to prove the truths of God's Word. And Genesis chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 20. And we need to read this, go over to a couple of verses in Hebrews 11, if you're writing it down or preparing, and use this as an introduction, because this is not an intellectual block. We don't prove what God says is so. We believe it, then we experience the substance and evidence thereof. Genesis 1, verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. And notice that there is a direct connection between the fish and the birds, and there's a reason, because of the one who created them to move through fluids. Water is a fluid in the sense of it actually has friction and stuff. If you've ever noticed, when you try to go fast, there's friction in the air, pushes against it. If you've ever driven in a vehicle without a windshield, a windscreen, you know the difference. Or a motorcycle. I doubt any of us ride a bicycle fast enough to feel too much of it. You might on a horse, for example, feel it. So notice that these two creatures, both the fowl and the fish, he puts them together and when he made them. And God created great whales. And there are some mighty big sea animals. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. You need to notice in your Bible the term after his kind. That's not what this building block is expressly about, but it's part of it. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Notice the plural, us and our. The three part of the Godhead. Only an intellectual person, only a person who has trouble with faith, feels that they must examine that. You can see the evidence of it, but to feel that you must examine it means you have a lack of faith. And this is not somebody speaking, myself speaking, that does not have a fair bit of education, actually. So God created man, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the difference between male and female is from God. Any other confusion? It's from the curse of sin. And none of it is the way someone is, quote, made. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. If you want dominion over sharks, stay out of the water. And I will remind you, this is before the fall, okay? After the fall, a whole lot of things changed, and God even said the earth would be hostile towards man, okay? The earth that would bring forth easily and abundantly requires man out of the sweat of his brow and the briars and thorns to stay alive. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Again, notice in your Bible, as building block number two was talking about God's definitions, the word meat can mean anything. They still call the heart or the inside of seeds that are edible, they call it the meat of it. Meat is something you eat. It's something you eat. M-E-A-T, E-A-T, eat. You eat it. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every living, everything that creepeth upon the earth, where there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. These are written after the fall. All these knowledgeable things are written after the fall. They're written, and everybody who's reading it is looking back, standing at the fall, looking back. So God says, in the beginning, there were no flesh eaters. He said, every green herb for meat. I've given the herbs for meat. So every animal was what people are trying to get back to today and will not until we get to heaven and we get a new earth and a new heaven and a restored era place, a restored era. They're trying to get back to that, but it's not for now. So they were vegetarian, all the animals. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And there's even more about what we're going to talk about in chapter 2, but for time, we'll do this. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make reference to and read Hebrews chapter 11, just a couple verses. Okay? Now, faith, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1 of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Mark this verse, 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That is, God literally spoke stuff into existence. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Your understanding is not through these multi-million dollar ministries about Genesis. Your understanding is not through millions of dollars being spent trying to help Christians prove that God made the place. No. Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, for us to make a list of things that are evidential is one thing. But to do that as proof is another thing. And you might think that's just a small thing, but it's not. It's faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith makes the future real. Why, the world knows this. They use affirmations constantly. They use positive talk. They use visualization. You say, well, all that's rubbish. Well, it's not rubbish. It's not. It's the way God made us. What the world does with it is an imitation. It is literally just a very weak, earthly, temporary imitation. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. There's nothing on this earth that can prove to a doubter that God made this place. And listen, I have dealt with Christian scientists, not creation scientists, not that wild and crazy group, Christian men, and some of them, I've interviewed them due to some associates I had in a ministry in the past. I've interviewed them and talked to them personally, men who were raised, some of them atheists, some of them agnostic, and they were rank evolutionists. And it wasn't mere proofs that did it. Once they were willing to believe God, then stuff started coming clear. Are you getting this? Once they were willing to believe God, then the evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. Simon Peter, write it down, 2 Peter 3, warns about trying to understand the past world by the world that exists now. And he makes it very clear, and you would think he was writing it in 2017 with us today when it comes to dealing with evolutionists and their so-called proofs. Well, what is building block number 3? Life comes from God. And I'm going to say this. Life, as in physical life, comes from God. Now, we know the other does, the mental and spiritual, but life comes from God. Okay? You cannot overestimate the need for firmly and squarely laying this block in place. Now, let's say you're a Christian. You go, well, of course, like, you are tempted, if not daily, weekly, to believe some things that actually contradict this statement that we have. Because what we have today is we have a lot of people in pulpits and in seminaries even, in fact, quite often, who are teaching a faithless Christianity. They're teaching an intellectual Christianity. You see, life comes from God. That is very, very important. How we treat life. Now listen, even how we treat animals will be affected by this. Now, at the fall, some animals became pests. Okay? Some became vermin. So, you can go and try to befriend a bunch of rats if you want. They're out in the wild and have diseases and are filthy and all that. That's your business. Now, I'm not going to do that. But I do have a respect for life. And you see, God set the levels of life. Some life is to be consumed to preserve other life. But it's to be consumed in a proper way, with the respect the fact that life comes from God. A respect for life is part of laying this block. You don't teach young people to value a pest or a vermin, and you don't teach young people to disrespect good life. You teach them, for example, to eat what they take and hunt. The reason catch and release and fish and stuff is a great idea. Isn't that we're trying to preserve the length of the earth and all that, though it'll probably help a little bit. It's because if you're not going to eat what you take, what you catch or hunt, then you shouldn't do it. And you see, there's a part of mankind that is honestly is rude and crude and base. And it's not just men, but men, of course, definitely demonstrate it. And that part is all about the fact of disrespecting life. The reason we literally tremble sometimes at the thought of just murders, cold-blooded murder, is because it's an attack on the fact that God made life. When someone diminishes the punishment for a true cold-blooded murder, they are actually someone who is obviously, regardless of what they say or their reasoning, they are obviously not on the side of God. And we'll get into that later on a building block when it comes to the idea of judgment. All right, now with this idea, life starts with God. Life is from God, okay? With this, life is associated with water. Now, this is really important. Because the sleight of hand, let me say this to you. If you can learn your Bible, then you are so powerfully equipped to deal with the science falsely so-called. But most Christians are studying the false science and trying to pick it apart before they know their Bible. Let me give you an example. The reason evolution wrongly concludes that life came up out of water is that life came up out of water. But it didn't evolve. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth. I'll give you an example. Your body is at least, they figure at least 65% water. A newborn's body is more like 75 or a little bit more, okay? In John 3, when he's talking about born of the water and of the Spirit, he's obviously talking about the fact that a baby's carried in water till it's time for it to be born. And if that water breaks, that's a sign that you better get with it. If you study just a little bit, not deeply, the place of sodium or salt water, you could come to a conclusion that the original circulatory system of mankind before there was any sin, before they took of something off a tree, a vine tree that would color their blood, that it was a saltwater system. That's not outrageous. They use saline solution when they need to help your blood. They use saline solution when you need a quick transfusion and make sure that you've got enough volume within your blood. And in World War II, when they were running out of the regular blood and the plasma and stuff, is when they really realized what they could do. And one of their main sources was good seawater, saltwater, seawater, the elements in it. Here's my point. Evolution is 95% true. Yes, life came out of water. Look at the fact that a fish has scales, overlapping pieces. What does a bird have? Scales. You know why? They both move. As I said earlier in this building block, they both move through a fluid. They're both streamlined. One has wings, the other has fins for movement and a tail. All the things that we put on a plane to fly it, unless, you, of course, you're trying to blast a missile through the air. I've done a little bit of flying myself as in amateur piloting, and I can just tell you that those principles that we learn from those animals are what we use. Now, you note that similarity between things like feathers and scales, and so we notice that they... Listen, let the waters bring forth. Life is associated with water. But if you're armed with the fact that God said come out of the water, and you will believe it, you begin to see the evidence of it right away. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and then verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So life comes from God, it's associated with water. Now listen, life comes up out of the earth, and it returns to the earth after the fall. You know what animal bodies are made of? They're made of earth. You know what your body's made of? It's made of earth. Someone says, well, there you go. That just shows we evolved. No, that is the most ridiculous thing. The human body is so intricate and stuff. See, it's not a matter of having to prove it. It's a matter that you can give plenty of evidence for it. But God allows man to choose the explanations of how life got here. But man will always be accountable to God because God gave us a written, visible account. Can you imagine having a bachelor's degree? Can you imagine having a master's degree? Can you imagine having a PhD or a doctorate in anything? And then standing before God and say, no, I haven't actually read the Bible through three times. Can you imagine that a person will be so humiliated when they realize, I should have read the Bible at least cover to cover three times as a lost person without judging it, or I haven't really been a honest intellectual. See, the intellectual says, well, it's the church's fault, and it's the pastor's fault, and it's denomination's fault. No, it's your fault. It's yours. So that sounds a little bit, no, that's nothing compared to what God Almighty's going to say. When a man or a woman stands before God Almighty, he's going to say, you know, did you hear about the Bible? Yes. Could you have gotten the Bible? Yes, actually, I could have gotten it free. I could have put it on a computer. I could have gotten a copy of it free on my phone. I could have gone down to the motel and gotten one free because people were putting them in drawers beside the beds. Can you imagine how important this is? All right, number four, quickly. Physical life reproduces after its kind. So this is all about life coming from God. This is a building block. Now, let me tell you something. Most of you are going to be tempted to go out and try to use this on someone else rather than let it sink down in to where your mind and your thinking thinks this way. You're not trying to some of you are so insecure, and you don't know you are. You're insecure in your faith because you're always trying to convince somebody of your faith. I'm glad I've got fellow believers to fellowship with. I'm glad. But I don't need one other person on the face of the earth to believe what I believe, since I have a Bible and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to come up with some belief that's so peculiar that I am the only one amongst believers. And a lot of y'all do that. You love that. You love being in this little niche where people can't quite understand what you're saying because you're gobbledygooping up the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. But physical life reproduces after its kind. And if you'd mark verse 21, for example, and verse 24 and verse 25, what does he say? After its kind. Variations are not evolution. They're not. See, what you've got to do instead of trying to argue, is believe that. Realize it. Variation. All right. Survival of the fittest is a true thing. A weak animal dies. But that is not the origin of life or of species. And I'm not going into a long thing here on it, but the origin of species is from things that are after their own kind breeding. They've demonstrated that you could have every type of dog on the face of the earth if you had six dogs on the ark. And you could take all that genetics and all the variations that come through the genome, and wham, there you go. You got all of them. Six animals, six dogs. You see, playing with genetics has no effect whatsoever upon truth. And Christians are so weak in their faith, and I promise you this, get some real faith in God and in the book, and your whole constitution will change. Your whole mind will change. Your whole thinking will change. You will not be the same person. Human life is unique. So the tree of life found in Genesis chapter 2 would give eternal life. Well, doesn't that make sense? Aren't they always putting something into your body to help you when you have a problem? They put it through orally. You take it through your mouth. You rub it on your skin. They put it in a needle. Physical life reproduces after its kind. Now, look, it takes longer to become a veterinarian and work on animals than the first stages of being a medical doctor. Why? Because there's so many different biosystems amongst animals. What will heal a dog might kill a cat. What will help one breed of horse might make another one sick. If you feed too much protein to these little miniature donkeys, like these Sicilians, they'll get this big old thing of fat growing along their neck, along their mane. You see, even amongst similar animals, there are different biosystems. That's how God made it. And then we would not be complete in this block. This whole block is what we sit in there. Okay? This block contains this thing of life coming from God. And because of it, because it came from God, then it's associated with water. It comes up out of the earth, returns to it. It reproduces after its kind. Now listen, physical life was marred at the fall. I'm going to read you one other passage in 2 Peter in the Old Testament towards the end of your New Testament, rather, towards the end of your New Testament. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, and this is a very powerful one, and I'm sure it will be associated as we go along in other places. But he says this in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. In other words, everything they teach, say, do, believe is for themselves. Self-motivated, all of it. If you look a little bit, you'll find it. They're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's a lie. The flood, first of all, the curse that we're going to talk about, the fall, and then the flood, Noah's day, changed the way things operate. So if you run tests on something today, that does not show you how it worked, even geologically, never mind biologically, before the fall and before the flood. And so he goes on to talk about this. They willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, perdition of ungodly men. That last manifestation of the earth, of our globe, is because he told, no, I'll never destroy the earth by water again. And so when John the Baptist came, he said, Jesus is going to baptize you. Messiah is going to baptize you with water and with fire. And fire is not a wild experience of the Holy Ghost. That fire is at the end. It's all going to be dissolved, Simon Peter says. So never confuse the dividing line called the fall with how life is today. Life was before the fall, before sin entered into the world, Romans 5. Life was, believer, something you cannot even imagine how wonderful it was. We get little tiny glimpses, and we're always trying to replicate it. People take their holidays to the nature places. They take their holidays to here. You say, well, a lot of them go to big cities and, you know, indulge. Yeah, they do. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to pretend that that's real life, and it ain't. Life comes from God. And under that is the idea that it's associated with water, so that's why the evolutionists, listen, the evolutionists have it 90% true. Sure, it came out of water, but it didn't evolve. God said, come up out of there, I'm going to make you to be in there. Why, listen, in John 4, he talks about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In John 7, he tells them to drink of the water of life. In Revelation 21 and 22, he's got a literal river of life. And in Genesis chapter 2, he's got mist come up out of the ground in verse 6, and he's got rivers that are specifically named. Of course life started in a garden. Of course life started by a river. Okay? Get hold of all that. And as a Christian, lay this building block. Life comes from God. Forget all the rubbish you hear. And then don't go out and try to set out to convince somebody. Let it sink down into your own soul and your own conversation and your own life. But see, most Christians don't have this block laid to the point that it's something they can stand on, that they're building, their life stands on. Life comes from God. Now look, I was only 32. When my mother went to be with the Lord. Okay? I was younger than that when my baby brother went to be with the Lord. I understand about life going back to God. I understand about parents being gone now and grandparents and brother. And I understand all that. I get it. I really do. Even friends. I'll be 62 soon, so I do understand. All right? But life comes from God and it goes back to God. So with little babies that don't live much on earth or don't quite get here, they're with God. We should be happy that they're with God. If I had a choice to be in sitting here talking to you or be with God, I'm going to be with God if I had a choice. And good luck to you till I see you again. All right. Building block number 3, life comes from God.